Wonderful. If I can ask that you draw your conversations to a close. This morning, we are blessed to have a great couple amongst us who have traveled, as I said, from the very beginning, from Japan. That's Jordan and Natasha Christian. And they're going to come and share what God has been doing, how God has been leading, and their experience in Japan. This is not the end of their experience, but they'll tell us more. And so I'd love for you to invite Jordan and Natasha as they come to the stage.
Hello, people. Hello. Long time no see.
Now, I call them guests, but they're not guests, they are family.
We are family, yeah, we are family.
You are. But in the room, there will be people who do not know who you are. So they've heard the name Jordan and Natasha. Please give us some context. Who are you?
Who are we? It's a good question, yeah, who are we? I mean, ask the person next to you, they'll know. We are long-term, full-time Ealing missionaries to Japan. So I'm Jordan. This is Natasha, if you were guessing. And we have been married 11 years. We've been in Japan for about 20 months, so just under 2 years.
Wow.
And we moved out from Birmingham. So we were born and raised in Birmingham and then moved to Japan in September of 2024.
Well, having traveled so far, it's only right that we ask the question, how are you both? How are you doing?
How are we doing?
How are we doing? I think we're well. We are well. God's been really good. So just a slight update. I'm kind of in recovery. Okay. I had a kidney stone 2 weeks before we flew out. Oh. So I'm recovering from that surgery, but actually we're both doing really well. It's been quite an adventure.
Wow.
So I think there's a lot of debriefing that might need to happen. Yeah. But yeah, we're good. We're good.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. I guess the question on people's lips will be, what drove you to the idea of mission? So was it a dream for you both?
Yeah, so really long story short, it was God who drew my attention to something that I'd never really experienced before, and that was the fact that I had something. So I was born again when I was in my 20s, and I had like this really tangible peace of God, and I was in university, and I realized that other people didn't have that. Loads of other people around the world did not have the peace of God that I had. And I was in my bedroom just thinking, Lord, well, what do I do about this? And he just gave me this desire, this passion to go and preach the gospel, go and tell other people about him, and not just other people, but people who just have no idea, have no chance of hearing about him. Mm. And then eventually I went on my first missions trip to Japan about 15 years ago now. And that's when God broke my heart and said, it's these people. Mm. These people need to know about who I am, need to know the peace that I can give them. and so it's been on my heart ever since, and that was 2011. So it's been a long time. Mm. When me and Tash got married in 2015, got it right.
11 years ago.
Yeah. we got married in 2015. We, on our second year anniversary, so 2017, that was when we first went to Japan, just kind of together on a honeymoon, and then that's when God really called both of us to the mission field and to spread the gospel and make disciples. Yeah.
Wonderful. So you explained that it wasn't a dream for you both, was that?
Yeah, no, it wasn't really a dream.
Can we get Tasha to maybe share?
Yeah, she can say her version. Yeah.
Yeah, I was a late bloomer. So it wasn't quite a dream of mine. Actually, it was one place I never really wanted to go. And I was quite confident in saying that when I was younger. I was like, no, Japan's not on my radar. So be careful what you say out loud.
Yeah, it wasn't quite a Jonah situation, was it?
Not quite. But Jordan had expressed his desire to go to Japan with me when we were dating. And at that point, I was a new Christian. So I didn't quite understand what a calling really was. Mm. And then the more things had developed, I was like, okay, well, I don't want to go for the sake of Jordan. I really need to catch this. So hence why we went together in 2017. And I said, Lord, I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't understand why you would move somebody to a different part of the world to share about you when you can do that right where you are. Mm. So I really grappled with that for a long time. And then I said, okay, Lord, this trip is in your hands. And on the very last day, he gave me a vision. The very last day of this trip, he gave me a vision where I could see, just as we were prayer walking around Tokyo, I could just see empty shells of people. And I was like, I understand. Okay. Mm. Wow. It's not about what I want. We need to come back because they need you. So that was the driver for me that day.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing. So you mentioned why Japan. My question to you is, are you now, after spending 20 months in Japan, are you fluent in Japanese?
Janai. Not quite fluent, no.
Ah, okay.
It's a very hard language. We're picking up things. Jordan's a lot more able than I am. You had the advantage of studying somewhat, studying Japanese in university for about a year. But kind of when you're there, you pick up words and you know how to respond.
Yeah.
I think the difficult thing is, sorry, you can understand sometimes what's being said because of the context, but it's not always easy to respond. So, yeah, we know a few things, but we're not fluent not at all.
Well, it's a good thing that I did a Google search and I know arigato.
Arigato gozaimasu. Hi.
That's it, right?
Hi.
No? Okay, let's move on. Apart from the language, what are some of the differences that you've noticed between the life in Birmingham and life in Japan? Maybe give us two.
Two.
Because you might be able to give us a list of like...
There's so many. There's so many things that are different. One of the big ones is punctuality. Why is everyone laughing? I was like, the buses are always late. The trains are always late. But in Japan, no. Like they're very, very rarely late.
Right.
So they're always on time because everyone has to work. And if you're late, then you make everybody else behind. And that's bad for the culture. So, that's probably one of the big ones, just time management and punctuality. What would be the second one?
So, there's that element of order, right? Yeah. Like, but I think an interesting one is actually noise. Yeah. Because it's really quiet over there.
Okay.
So you could be in a very busy train station, but everybody is quiet. You don't use your phones on the trains because it's considered rude, and there's announcements that say, don't use your phones. So you could be around thousands of people, but it's silent.
Wow.
Yeah.
It is crazy because, Daryl, where is Daryl? Is he downstairs? There he is. So Daryl came to visit us not long ago in Japan, and he remarked on how silent it is compared to Hong Kong. So the difference is very stark when it comes to...
And to Birmingham, I imagine.
And to Birmingham, yeah.
Oh, wonderful. Well, in your experience, I'm sure you would have tasted the cuisine that they have there. So tell us.
Yes, we have.
What has been the best and not so good that you've had?
So Jordan's a little bit more adventurous than I am. So you could probably do the worst. But one thing they do really good over there is, like, they're called Japanese souffle pancakes. And they're them really bouncy, fluffy pancakes with fruit and all sorts. And they always look like the picture. They're just, like, perfect. So, yeah, I would say...
perfect
not quite
pancakes.
Japanese, is it? But, yeah, pancakes.
Yeah, I think you see those guys on Instagram, don't you? You see the souffle pancakes. But I think the worst, and it depends on who you ask, it depends on what foreigner you ask, it's a food called natto. Natto is a fermented soybeans. Okay. Just Google it, N-A-T-T-O. It looks horrible, smells horrible, tastes horrible.
But it's good for you.
Apparently. Apparently, yeah. They say that, yeah.
They say that, yeah.
They say that, yeah.
Anything that smells horrible in terms of food is always good for you, isn't it?
So, for some reason, yeah. Don't know why God made it that way.
Don't know why. Well, it's important for you to share with us, actually, being away for 20 months. What have you seen God do or do through you guys? Can you maybe tell us a story of, like, transformation, hope, faith, or everything and above for the church today?
Oh, we're going to get real now. Okay, so we partner with the church. And within that church, we've done a number of things. So Jordan does a lot of the media work. And I do a lot of the counseling type ministry and admin. And I was actually meeting with an elderly lady who started to attend the church, but she stopped. But we continued to meet each other. And I won't share her name, but she's happy for me to share the story. She was really struggling because she just lost her husband. And she was a new Christian. And she didn't understand why she was still alive. She couldn't wrap her head around the fact that she still had breath in her lungs because she had a purpose. And this one particular day, I was meeting with her, and she was, if I can be as transparent as I can, she was just ready to end it that day. And commonly, how they do it in Japan is they step in front of a train. And that was her plan that day. So I stayed with her, and after a number of hours of just talking about God and his purpose and why Jesus died for her, we then moved on to the kinds of things that she enjoys to do in life. And one of those things was calligraphy. And she just lit up when she was talking about the art of calligraphy. And she would talk about how she'd submit some of her poems and her calligraphy to councils and then get them in books and get them submitted. And she was so proud of it. And there was this light bulb moment that switched. And she just said, "Thank you. I just realized I can live now. Because I know my purpose."
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so profound. And, you know, Tasha, as you shared earlier, you know, you didn't feel like you wanted to go to Japan, but it's for stories like that, that God knew that and create, obviously, there for that moment. Thank you for sharing. Jordan?
Yeah. Yeah, Tasha's been doing some really profound work within the counseling ministry that she's been a part of, or kind of made and led. But in terms of kind of people inside of the church, so a lot of you would know that I've done media kind of here, done the sound here. And I think a big part of what I've seen God do through the team that I've put together, so I've kind of helped build the media team, is see that the media team don't just have this idea of coming to church on a Sunday, but now, even though I'm not there, they see what they're doing as a ministry, as a way of serving God where they are, with serving God with what they've got. And we've just had so many different new experiences as a team that have kind of formed who they are and helped their discipleship. So there are a couple of stories inside of that, but that's the main thing that I believe God has done through the media team is, or through us being together as the team, is kind of seeing that it's not just serving on a Sunday, but it's a ministry. It's worshiping God. So
yeah, wonderful. Well, I guess it takes to this point here, experiencing those conversations, those difficult moments, and helping people and lead them through that. What has been carrying you both? Has there been a passage of scripture that God has given you, or that you've, you know, held on to as part of God's promises? Please share.
Yeah. It was actually, sorry to mention you again, Daryl, but it was actually Daryl who, just before we left, he mentioned Psalm 23. And that has been carrying us all this time. And the Lord hasn't allowed us to forget about it. So it's come up in sermons, it's been on buses, it's been everywhere. And it's this whole, you know, it's a very common psalm that people turn to, but it's this whole idea in the middle of the psalm where it says, for you are with me. And the big thing is you, him, God, and everything that he is, everything that he carries, you're with me. Because there's this kind of, I remember we were walking kind of from our house to the train station in the neighborhood when we first landed, really. And, you know, you're kind of walking around and you see the Japanese language everywhere, and you're just kind of in awe, and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm in Japan. Oh, there's a sushi shop over there, I'm in Japan. Kind of like that excitement of just landing. But then you kind of see other people in the community just kind of looking at you, and you kind of feel like you stand out a little bit. And then you start asking yourself, well, what am I doing here? Like, why am I even here, Lord? It's not that they're asking the same thing, but you tend to ask yourself, should I even be here? Like, this whole imposter syndrome kind of can set in. And I feel like we've all kind of been there. You know, if we're starting a new job or we're going into a new, you know, place of learning, you know, you kind of feel like, what am I actually doing here? This assignment, is it for me? Am I even the person? And we felt that a number of times. But it's that line in the psalm where it says, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It's him. It's this big thing that the Lord has. It's this ministry of presence. We were singing it today. It's this ministry of presence. It's the ministry of him just being there that changes everything. And we've been there, haven't we? We've seen it. We've tasted and seen the goodness of, you know what I mean? We've seen when God is there and he shows up, something changes for the good. Something really does change. And so we've really held on to that. You know, we've had some really, really high highs, some really low lows, and he's really kept us because of him just being there. And I think there's this ministry of presence that he's given us, you know, just being intentional about where we are and the fact that we, as believers, you know, we all carry God's presence as believers. If we're intentional about being there, then things can change because he's there. And so let it encourage you. You know, Psalm 23, let it encourage you because you are there in your place of work or school and you carry God's presence intentionally, something good can come. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, that's how he's really kept us.
Yeah, thanks for sharing, Jordan. Yeah, and that passage talks about how a good shepherd leads us, doesn't it? And like you said, the rod and the staff. And there may be people here this morning who'll be thinking, hey, do you know what? How do I discern God's calling on my life? Do I go on holiday? Do I go to the furthest part of the world? How would you encourage us to discern what God is calling or leading us to? How do we know his voice? How do we know how he's leading? How do we discern that?
I mean, the fact that we went on holiday is not a good example, is it? But I think we would say, a couple of things. I think one of the big things is prayer. Like, it sounds obvious, but no, yeah, pray. Because it took us 10 years to get there. Well, yeah, me 15, but yeah, Tash and I 10 years to get there, and we prayed all the time. We could not pray. So definitely pray, keep praying. What was the other thing we said?
I think the other thing I would say is seek counsel, seek wise counsel, wise godly counsel. Because I think if you are moving across the world where you feel like you may be called, there's an element of grief that takes place. And it isn't a holiday. There's a lot that you have to overcome. There's a lot that you have to push through. So it might seem as though, you know, everything's nice and you're going to this exciting place, but you're sent with intention. You're sent with backing. You're sent with purpose. You're sent with prayer. You're sent with resources. You're sent equipped. It's not just, like, you can book a holiday tomorrow. Yeah. But I think if it's a calling, it stands the test of time. And I think in our personal experience, it took 10 years, but we couldn't shake it. We couldn't shake this idea of, we're still being sent. There were a number of opportunities that we had presented to us that were comfortable, that were well paid. Yeah. I had a really good business. I closed the business down, and it could seem like a really crazy thing to do because we were in a good position. But that element of sacrifice means, no, I know I'm called. And I'll let go of everything else because that's where you want me to go. So I think seeking some wise, godly, consistent counsel, yeah, I think is the next thing.
Definitely. Yeah, that's so good. In this room, not everybody is called to international mission. But how do we make an impact where we are? How would you encourage us to make an impact where we are?
Probably the thing that I kind of just said is, God led, his people through the wilderness in the book of Exodus, in the Bible. And again, it was because he was with them that made all the difference to their story. Mm-hmm. And so I'd say one of the big things you can do where you are is be intentional about carrying the presence of God with you into school, the workplace, because that's one of the biggest impacts I think you can have, is when God's, not just his omnipresence, but his tangible presence is there. I believe we all believe that things do just change. Something can happen. Something good can happen. So whether it's you're serving in a, in church or in a community center, or you volunteer somewhere else or something else, or just being a parent, it could just be that, just carrying the presence of God there with you, that's how you make the impact, because he's there. That's how I would say.
I love that. Yeah. Well, this isn't the end of our conversation with you, because you guys are sticking around for a bit longer. Tell us how long you are in Birmingham for.
We are around for about 2 months, so we leave end of June, the 30th of June. So we're around for about 2 months or 60 days. But we're traveling around a fair bit.
Okay.
we are traveling around a fair bit. We should be available to talk to in the week, I believe. But weekends we'll be traveling around a fair bit.
Oh, great. And then finally, how, as a church, can we support you? We are supporting you, as you are one of our missionaries that we send here. But just let us know how else we can support you.
Yeah. So there should have been a QR code on the PowerPoint behind. So you can read our newsletter. You can we put some prayer points in there so you can be praying for us. That'd be really awesome. You can follow us on social media, and then you can pray for us then. Or just ask Pastor Isaac or Pastor Phil about how you can get in touch. Yeah, just all sorts of ways. So yeah, scan the QR code. There's all sorts of ways listed there that you can support us.
Wonderful. And so you'll be around at the end of the service. Yes. So if people wanted to grab a chat with you, say hi.
Yes.
You'll be around to say hello. I want to thank Jordan and Natasha for coming and sharing with us, flying all this way to be with us today. But amen. You guys are blessed. We love you. Thank you so much.
Thank
Let's
you,
give
guys.
A round of applause.
Bless you, guys.
Thank you. Thank you.